Oh, I could listen to that all morning. Good morning.
A special, special request.
A special request from Mr. Dick Baker. Good morning, Mr. Dick Baker. That one was for you. This is Meg with Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620. It is Tuesday, and that means it's time for the Garden Line with my favorite, Mike Wiggins. Good morning, Mike.
Here we are. Good morning. How are you?
Well, I was fine until I walked out the door. And it was freezing. I'm glad I'm not a plant outside this morning.
the first thing I could think about when I woke up this morning was my electricity bill.
Seriously, because I'm not following the instructions, the recommended 65 overnight or whatever it is. No way.
Too old for that.
Me too. No way. I'm not even going to say where my thermostat is right now.
Absolutely.
Holy moly.
It'll cost us. But I'm glad we got it.
And, I'm grateful, and God bless the folks that are homeless. I mean, I just can't even imagine being out in this kind of cold.
I will say this: there's so many organizations that are really helping out in this cold weather with blankets and places to stay, and it really is.
They're doing good work.
Typical Pensacola to step up when people need help. And I think we should all be grateful for that.
Absolutely.
No question about it. Well, it's cold. It's cold. That's all I got to say. From a gardening standpoint, I have no idea what one would want to do out in the yard today.
I was going to say.
It won't be me. But just a couple things about this cold weather. We are Pensacola. The News Journal reported that Pensacola, Jacksonville, Tallahassee are under cold weather advisories. Well, and they go on in the article. I think this is kind of fun. Asking the question, what is a cold weather advisory? You know that.
The criterion be when it goes into freezing?
No. What is it?
I mean, the advisory.
Why would they do a cold weather advisory?
So I know to put my coat on.
That's it. Hey, you're right on.
I am.
Yeah, you're right on. I love this. A cold weather advisory is meant to let people know how they should dress. Seasonably cold temperatures.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a fashion statement.
Interesting. Oh, my gosh. I thought it was more like it was going to be 32 or, you know.
Should I wear stripes or plaid?
Okay. Good to know.
That is no. And one other question they ask in this article, I thought it was well written. It was kind of fun. Will it snow?
Will
it snow in Pensacola? Well, the conditions required for snow, the article will tell you, is it has to be below 32 degrees, and we have to have some precipitation. And we're not going to have that.
It looks like we're going to be cold enough,
I think we're just not going to have the rain to turn into snow, which I personally, and I'm sure the audience thinks I'm crazy saying this, if it's going to be cold, bring on the snow.
I agree. I can stay home.
A snow day.
There's no snow plows here, so I know I'm going to be able to stay home.
Snow day on 1620. Meg is home sitting by her heater.
That's exactly right. If it's snowing, y'all can just count on, I'm not going to be here.
Bring on the snow.
Seriously.
Anyway, it looks like starting tomorrow, we're going to be low around 31, Wednesday around 30, Thursday, it just keeps going.
We do get some rain on Friday.
We get rain on Friday, mainly afternoon. Chance of rain is 70%, low around 39. So that's not going to meet the criteria for snow, which is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, kids would love it. I mean, you know.
Oh, for sure.
I remember growing up, we had snow in Pensacola.
Yeah, I grew up in Atlanta. We have it every once in a while.
Yeah, but doesn't look like it's going to be this time. I did also note, and this is still weather related, that they were the five P's of cold weather.
Okay.
Things to do. One.
What are the five P's?
Here we go. You ready? You protect people. Once again, you dress appropriately. I love that. You dress in layers. Wear your hat. Wear your gloves. Stay out of the wind and stay dry. So you protect people. Number two, you protect your pets. Goes without saying. You know, bring the dog inside, bring the cats inside. You don't want them out in this cold weather.
I saw a funny thing on Facebook yesterday that said if you're debating about whether to leave your pet outside, sit outside with your pet for a few minutes. And that'll help you make your decision.
That takes care of that one. That's for sure. All right. And, of course, this leads us into the garden line. Protect your plants, of course. And we've talked about that at length on the garden line. Buy you some frost cloths to wrap your tender plants. Take the plastic, if you have to use plastic, take it off right after temperatures go above freezing. And don't remember what we've been talking about the last couple of shows is don't do the lollipop insofar
as right, that's important.
If you've got a tree and you just cover the foliage and not the trunk, you're not gonna have a lot of luck. And protect your pipes. That's the last P. Protect your pipes. I don't know if this particular cold is going to band-aid that, but why not?
Better safe than sorry, right?
Better safe than sorry. Absolutely. And also, we have talked about this too, but I think it's important if we really are going to get into temperatures like this, about watering the ground before the freeze comes. You want to water your plants, but what you don't want to do is water the whole plant right before a freeze. If you can, and if your system will allow, just water the soil, because that water's ability to absorb and hold heat is known as technically a high specific heat. Dry soil contains air spaces, and the air spaces are cooler. The water fills those air pockets with water, which absorbs more heat.
That's interesting, because I would think that it would be setting you up for a freeze.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's what you would think, but that's not the way it is.
Huh. Okay.
Not the way it is at all. So water the soil in the morning before a freeze, focusing on the soil rather than the leaves, because the wet leaves are more prone to freeze damage. So that's what you need to do. If you can. Now, if you've got a large yard and your sprinkler system waters, or when you have it on the shrubs, it waters everything, getting out there and just watering the soil is a real chore. But if you can, that's kind of the rules to follow to best protect the plants that we have.
Is it time to turn your sprinkler system off when you know a freeze is coming?
Oh, I would. Oh, no doubt. No doubt about it.
I'm just asking.
Mine's off.
Okay, just checking.
Exactly. But when we come back from our little break, a lot of the extension office people get together periodically and they answer questions from the public about certain things. And they did about cold weather. I've got two or three questions that were posed to the county agents.
Oh, great.
That, and their answers, which kind of goes along with what we've been talking about this morning. So we can do that.
All right, we'll do that when we come back from the break. You're listening to The Garden Line on Pep Talk at News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Have you got a question for Mike about gardening, the cold, what she should do? Just text it in at 850-437-1620, and we'll be back right after the break.
That's the basics right there, but you have to determine kind of what you're going to protect. Keep in mind, and we didn't mention this a minute ago, but your container plants.
That was going to be a question. When do you bring those in?
Or now.
Okay.
Today. Yeah, matter of fact, probably should have done it yesterday. But depending on what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what it is. If you've got a Cinque planted in a container, you're probably going to be okay with these temperatures we're going to have. It's okay. If you've got a croton or a hibiscus, that's a different story, because that plant is tropical, and because it's in a container, obviously because the pot is out of the ground, it's going to have more problems with the cold and the roots of the plant. So that should be either brought in or covered. I have tried over the years to protect my croton.
Mm-hmm.
I have this place where I plant a croton every spring. It gets big. Right now it is so pretty. So gorgeous. But the pot's too heavy to move.
Mm.
And every time I cover it, the wind blows it off. So I just think I'm going to have to just kind of be at the mercy of Mother Nature on that one. So that's kind of how to handle the cold. It's all relative. If you remember couple of years ago, we went down below 20. We got down to about 19 degrees. And sometimes all bets are off. Even if it's covered with a sheet,
right?
You just, and depending on what it is, you're subject to cold damage. That's the year we had all the citrus problems.
Mm-hmm, I remember that.
Remember that the citrus trees just had grave damage. And we tried to tell folks, and need to talk about that again, if you have that kind of damage, let's say on a citrus tree, don't do anything now. Nothing. Because you're tempted to get out there. You're so mad that your beautiful citrus tree has got some freeze damage. Start pruning it. Don't do that. We can almost wait till spring to do that, to see where the damage is, how far back you've got to cut it, and go from there.
That's good advice.
Yes, but don't start chopping away the day after a hard freeze. And let's hope we don't get down into the 19s, 15s, that type of thing, because a lot of the experts were saying that 20-degree mark is a real benchmark, if you will, for citrus to sustain damage. So let's just hope we don't get down that far. We're not going to get down that far in this little episode we're having
right
now.
So far, so good.
So I think we'll be okay.
Okay.
But be prepared.
Now, you said you had a couple more things on your list that you were going to talk about?
Yes. We also had the text about the about the citrus, limey, and fertilizing.
Yes, this was a question. When do I fertilize? This is from Dave. When do I fertilize and lime my Satsuma, 5 years old, productive with amazing sweet fruit?
Absolutely. That's a great question. Number one, I would get a soil test. Sometimes for lawns and such, we can kind of guess at the pH. But if you've got a Satsuma and it really is valuable to you because it's producing so well, I would get a soil test. I know Werner Turf has got a program called, I think it's called Soil Test, where they'll take your soil, send it off, tell you what the pH is, whether it's acid or not, and compare that to the plant that you're concerned about. Well, you can say, I've got a Satsuma. What is the pH? What should it be? If it's too low, then they would recommend putting limestone, dolomite limestone, on that particular plant. And you could do that now. The question was timing.
Right.
The liming you could do right now. Fertilizing, I wouldn't even think about it, because if you fertilize really any plant, citrus included, right now, what you're going to do, that nitrogen in that fertilizer is going to promote new growth. And new growth is very tender. And, of course, we get another cold snap. You could lose some of that new growth. It could damage
the
plant. So don't fertilize until spring. When I say spring, I'd say maybe April, even May. But check that soil right now and see whether you really need the lime or not.
Great. Thank you so much, Mike. That's great. So I hope that answered your question, Dave.
I hope Dave share some of that fruit with us.
Yes, that would be nice.
Absolutely.
Hint, hint.
No question. Okay, we were talking about the all the county agents getting together and asking questions about the weather. Okay.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to read the question.
Okay.
This was from the public when they got together. Our sprinkler system went on during the freezing temperatures. Most of the plants were coated with ice and turning brown. Did the water harm the plants? And their answer was yes. Water is good, like we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. in the soil. But if you cover the whole plant, that's not good. Now, you see on television all the time these big sprinkler systems down mm-hmm. in Orlando,
right.
South, with the citrus down there. Well, those folks are so high tech that they know what they're doing. Plus, this guy's sprinkler system went on during the freeze, and that
that's just like coating it with ice, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and that's what happened, and that's why they turned brown. And the county agent said this. I'll read this. I don't like to read to y'all, but I said the wet plants are super cool, and temperatures drop well below the air temperature, causing stems and leaves that would normally not be affected to freeze. Expect to do a lot of pruning to remove the damaged portions. Some plants would have survived. some plants that would have survived may have been lost. So
you're listening to Pep Talk.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. We'll be right back with more tips on how to get through this cold weather with your plants on the Garden Line. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And today is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins talking about ways to protect our plants. So you had some more things that you had gotten from
Right. This is the county agents meeting where they answered questions from the public. And I just picked a couple of them here I thought were kind of fun. Here was the question. I lost most of my flowers. When can I begin replanting? Well, you can plant almost immediately if you want to, because delphinium, dianthus, dusty miller, ornamental cabbage and kale, petunias, Shasta daisies, snapdragons, pansies, those are all plants that will put up with the weather we're having this week.
Oh, God, okay. That's...
And look very, very nice. So, yes, you can do that type of planting right now. Now, if the fall plantings don't appeal to you, because let's be honest, this is January, and probably by April, you'll want to be planting your spring plants. And, of course, the list on that is enormous, and we'll spend a lot of time on that on the Garden Line, talking about what to plant for the spring. But it's a little early. But these plants are good. I like that ornamental cabbage because the colder it gets, the prettier it gets.
Really?
Yeah. You've got two types. You've got the ornamental cabbage, how to tell the difference, and the ornamental kale. They look very similar, except the cabbage has a very smooth edge of the leaf. The kale has kind of a serrated edge to the leaf. And they are just great plants for the cold weather and are different. You know, they're different. So you might find that and may have fun with that. But, of course, the pansies are a staple. That's, you know, that's one of the most popular fall plants in America. And they will do very well. And you can buy different colors, different shapes. I like the yellow ones. I think they're good. I also like pansies that have the face. And when
yes.
I was a child, I called them a face.
Yes,
you know,
I remember.
You know what that looks like.
Of course.
So you can plant all of that. But, yes, you can do that immediately, really.
Okay. Well, we'll be talking more about what you can and can't plant and things to do in this cold weather with the Garden Line and Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. We're going to take a break now for the news right here at 9:30, and then we'll be back in just a few on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Just a little bit longer.
Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs on News Radio 92.3. Good morning, it's Pep Talk. Stay with us a little longer because it's the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk this morning. Lots of good texts coming in and questions, Mike. Which one do you want to address first?
Well, you go for it.
All right, so we had someone send in a photo of her azaleas.
Oh, yes.
She said her azalea plant is highly confused, and the picture, it looked confused.
And, you know, on the Garden Line, sometimes we get confused.
True. This is very true.
It's just the way
it just
is.
Depends.
But, you know, in my neighborhood, I've seen a lot of the azaleas in the last, oh, golly, 3-4 weeks start blooming. Of course, that's just simply because of the weather, the way the weather's been. And, of course, the buds have been set since summer. So just with the combination of the buds being set and the environment that we've had, they've some varieties have been blooming. Now, of course, as we've talked about on our show, if you really want them to bloom in the fall, plant Encore azaleas.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned those before.
Yeah, those are the ones that, I don't want to say they're new, been around maybe 10 years or so, but they've been developed to bloom in the spring and, of course, in the fall. And just from a personal standpoint, I wanted to see how they did, so I bought a couple of white ones, and they did exactly that. They bloomed. They were beautiful.
Oh, okay.
In the fall, I think they have a few blossoms on them right now. But don't be too confused if your azaleas are blooming. You're going to do okay. Those blossoms that are on there now probably mean that you won't have them in the spring coming up in a couple of months. But you probably have many more on that plant that is going to give you color when you want it. So anyway, thanks for the picture. But I do think a lot of us are experiencing the same thing.
Well, it is confusing when it's 70 in the morning and 40 in the afternoon.
Yeah, how could you not be confused?
Right? In today's 20-something. So. Right. Okay, we got another text, and this one comes from Karen Llewellyn. Karen had contacted me last week. She has an event that's coming up at the Garden Center.
Oh, okay.
And asked us to take a minute, Mike, to announce it to everybody. So this is an exciting event that's coming up. It's an educational series that they're doing, and the event will be on February 13th, but the registration has started now from January 1st to February 1st. So you need to get registered. Registration forms will be available at the PensacolaGardenCenter.com. That's the website. Or you could actually go during business hours to the Garden Center. Now, they're going to have speakers, vendors. They're going to have opportunity baskets. They'll have, that were assembled by the garden members. So I bet those will be nice. And a 50-50 drawing. So it's $25 to go. So the fee includes lunch, snacks, beverages, and four sessions. So this sounds wonderful. And if there's any questions, Karen has given her phone number. So jot this down because she'd be happy to answer questions for you at 402-320-4458. But again, you can register online at PensacolaGardenCenter.com. And again, the event's February 13th.
Wow.
That sounds like really wonderful. Perfect timing.
February 13th. We'll all be fired up.
Yes, perfect timing, right before Valentine's.
Weather.
Yes,
oh, absolutely.
So thanks so much, Karen, for sending that in.
Thank you, Karen.
And I'll try to announce that again in the next couple
y'all
weeks.
Y'all do such good work over there, and we all appreciate that.
Okay, you had a couple more on your list,
right?
Well,
yeah, I've got one, just one more,
okay.
Which is kind of a no-brainer, but it's kind of interesting the way they phrased it. I brought plants inside during the cold weather. How soon should they be moved back outdoors? Well, we've always said once the cold weather is over, take them outside. And that's exactly what the county agent said. Because if you don't, if you brought them inside, that means they've been brought into a different environment and you may get some leaf drop, no question about that. And this is very interesting, the way they phrase this. Some pests, including roaches, ants, and lizards, may move from the plants into the home if they remain inside without debugging.
Yes, I brought in a couple of plants yesterday, and a couple of lizards decided to come in with it.
Well, I
didn't even see them. They were hidden underneath.
Yeah, yeah. I hate to bother the lizards. They do good. The roaches and the ants.
No,
we will
thank
take
you.
Care of that.
No.
But keep in mind, the reason I brought that up is when you brought your plants inside, especially if they were tropical plants, say like palms or, let's say, hibiscus,
right.
Something like that. Be sure to have sprayed them with some insecticidal soap. That's it's very environmentally friendly product. You can get a little spritzer bottle. And if you do that before you move them inside, you may have control over some of those varmints that you bring in the house.
Okay, great. That's great information. Lisa from Milton had a question for us. And if you do have a question or a comment, this is Pensacola's Expert Panel, The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. You can always text in at 850-437-1620. Hello, Mike. I'm trying to keep a jalapeno plant that's in a planter. I've put orange Halloween lights that put out heat and covered it with a sheet.
Well, that's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
A lot of people will cover... Matter of fact, some people will build kind of a tent around a plant they really want to save and put lights in there, put Christmas lights in there, put the Halloween lights that Lisa has done. So that's a great idea, especially for those plants that you really want to save. You may not be able to save everything, but for those special plants, you may need to take that extra step, no doubt about it. Plus, I will say this. This would not be the Garden Line 2025 without Lisa from Milton.
Hey!
I'll tell you right now. And I'm hoping Lisa will share as we get into the spring how she does some of her plantings because it's kind of unique and it's very interesting.
I love that. So thank you, Lisa.
She does a great job.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
And thank you, too, Karen, for sending that information in for us.
Very good. Okay. We may need to go to that seminar.
Wouldn't that be fun?
We need to learn something.
I would like to go to that, actually.
Yeah, that would be good. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Yeah. 850-437-1620. If you have a comment or a question, this is the man who knows everything about gardening on the Garden Line and certainly has advice right now when we're looking at these cold, this cold weather. It's all good.
It's a tough time for us gardeners.
Yes, very.
Okay. One more thing, and this is just for fun. The News Journal also put out article saying we could experience cold temperatures. Well, we know that. But they also put in a chart that said a couple of things. One is, what was the coldest day ever in Pensacola?
Ooh, good question.
That's a good question. Okay. They say January 21st, 1985, it went to 5 degrees.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember it going quite that low.
Huh.
In 85, but that's what they say. Now, the second coldest day was February 13th, 1899.
Whoa. Yeah, they were keeping temperatures back then?
Yeah, I was just in grade school then.
Oh.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Yeah, I do remember this, though. I bet a lot of people do. On December 24th, Christmas Eve, 1989, it went to 11 degrees.
That's cold.
We all remember that cold on Christmas Eve, no doubt about it. All right, the hottest day in Pensacola, which brings back good memories.
To warm us up.
To warm us up, July 14th, 1980, 106 degrees. So, a few things from the News Journal.
And that's not even including probably the heat factors and all that stuff. That's just the flat-out temperature.
That's the flat-out temperature, exactly. Because, you know, sometimes the wind, when we start talking about wind chills, I know that's an accurate way to as to how it feels, you know, but I like to know what the real temperature is.
Me too.
You know, is it 30 degrees? Is it 31? Are we going to go down into the 20s?
The wind is supposed to be strong this morning, which is going to make it feel a lot colder, but it is supposed to start to get a little calmer this afternoon.
Right.
So we'll be in the 40s, but it'll be a real 40s
without
the wind,
bad.
So that won't be too bad.
I'm looking out the window, and it looks,
a little breezy still, just a little bit.
Not too bad.
Just a little bit.
Not too bad. Okay, that's kind of about it for cold weather.
All right.
Just a couple things maybe to end up the show with. Last week we talked about our New Year's resolutions.
Yes.
And we ran out of time and didn't get to all of them. So I just want to bring back one or two of them that we may need to talk about.
All right, so we're going to do that in just a minute. If you have a question or a comment for Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line, it's Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. You can text it in at 850-437-1620. Going to take a quick break and then come back to those New Year's resolutions. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk today. Mike Wiggins is here with us. All right, Mike, more resolutions.
More resolutions, but I did want to mention we got a picture from Catherine.
Yes, yes.
About has built what I'm going to call a tent.
Looks like a tent
to cover her plants, and I wouldn't doubt it. She didn't say, but I wouldn't doubt she probably puts a small heater in there, and that would probably suffice to protect those plants. So if anybody can do it, Catherine can. No doubt about it.
There you go.
Go get them, girl. Go get them. Okay. Before we go to the New Year's resolution, I did want to mention one thing. I got an email from Jack. Jack owns a company called Caladiums Florida. And anybody who's listened to the Garden Line knows I have kind of recommended them over the years. But anyway, Jack, and it's a long email. I'll try to make it short. He just says, Happy New Year to all our listeners. He says he's harvesting the current crop of caladiums and elephant ears. That's all they sell. The crop is excellent, but there'll be many varieties that sell out early. He says, order soon. He would hate for us to miss on the varieties that you really like. And they are so good because when you order, they will send the bulbs to you when it's the appropriate time to plant in your area.
Oh, that's so smart.
Oh, yeah. Or, of course, you can say when you would like them shipped, and they'll do it. I have found these people to be great. If you go online and look up caladiumsflorida.com, you'll have a picture of all the caladiums in full living color that they sell. And so he's right, because they are so popular down there. It's out in Lake Placid. and it's so popular that they run out.
And oh,
so,
wow.
So if you do want some, one of my favorites that I play almost every year is called Pink Beauty. It really has kind of a pink inside the leaf and kind of green all around it, and it's just one of my favorites. But you may have your favorite, and he's got them. But order early.
Great.
Order early.
That's a great tip.
No doubt about it. Okay. You ready for to go back and hit just a couple of the New Year's resolutions?
Yes, let's do
it. I resolve to plant all my plants correctly. Now, I know a lot of the people listening are just rolling their eyes saying, we know how to do that. And they do, most of our listeners. Matter of fact, in here, I got this resolution. May sound silly, but keep in mind that our soil in Pensacola is worse than the Sahara Desert.
Oh, gosh.
It really is. So you just can't buy a plant. Now, and I always like to use dwarf azaleas as the example.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go buy a dwarf azalea and very gingerly take it out of the plastic pot and plant it in the ground. You will find that plant will not thrive as well as if you took that plant out of the pot, and I use a box cutter and just kind of rip those roots. And some of your new gardeners would say, man, you're doing grave damage to that
mm-hmm.
plant. No, no, no. You're loosening the roots so that they will grow outward and accept the nutrients that you put on them. So do that. Also, one of the first purchases you probably need to buy this spring is a good bale of Canadian sphagnum peat moss, and use it for everything you plant. You can use it by spreading it out over an area in which you're going to plant your spring flowers, or for that dwarf azalea you just planted, you put a shovel full in the hole, mix that up with the sand that's in there, and then plant in that mixture. What that's going to do, that's going to allow some moisture retention in the planting hole, which you need here because our sandy soil is just like a sponge. It just goes away. So mix in that peat moss every year, and I think you'll do better. But I think most of our listeners know that. The second one is one that's kind of just a reminder. I resolve to water and mow my lawn correctly. Remember now, the old garden line rule, St. Augustine, you mow 4 inches. Centipede, 3 inches. Zoysia, depending on the variety, around 2 inches. If you do that, you're going to have a better-looking lawn because the best weed control, the best way to make your lawn healthy is to mow it high because sometimes, or many times, that will choke out those weeds. So don't, a lot of people in the fall, maybe a little, maybe last November, December, lowered their lawnmower under the assumption this is the last time I'm going to mow my lawn. It'll look really nice with me just cutting it real low. But don't do that. Never take that lawnmower. Let's say you have St. Augustine. Never take that lawnmower off that 4-inch setting. Don't do it, ever.
Wow, that's a great tip.
And if early in the spring when you start mowing the lawn, you're not going to get much. You're just going to clip the tops off. But is still the best thing to do. So, and watering, as sometimes that is just simply depends on conditions, season, temperature, dryness, and all that. If you have a sprinkler system, generally in the summer, I say set it coming on 3 times a week. That's really all you need. If we hit a drought, make it 4. If we get into a rainy time, cut it off. So, with a sprinkler system, you have to sort of play with it manually like that during the season. So you resolve to plant your plant correctly, and you resolve to water and mow your yard correctly. And also, going back to, I guess it was Dave who sent us a text, get that soil test. I know a lot of people don't do it because it's a little bit of trouble, but go ahead and get that soil test because St. Augustine many times needs lime. Centipede does not need lime because it likes our acid soil. Zoysia will sometimes take lime to a certain degree. But that report you get back from the state or from whomever did the test will take the grass that you've got, say it's St. Augustine, say the pH is 5.6, you need to be about 6. And if you need it to be about 6, this is the amount of lime to apply. And it needs to be dolomite lime. So there's a little bit of science to it all, but I would certainly recommend going to the trouble of doing that.
Well, these are great recommendations, such great information right here on the Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. If you have a question, we've got a couple of minutes left, so 850-437-1620. We'll be back after the break. Pensacola's expert panel with the Garden Line and Mike Wiggins. Got a couple minutes left, Mike.
Yes, and what we need to talk about is something we need to do as we get a little further along in the spring, but it's something you really do not want to do now, and that is spray your azaleas and camellias and boxwoods and clearer, et cetera, with an oil spray. It is important to do, especially in the spring, where you spray that oil spray underneath the foliage of the plant where the scale is. Scale are little white dots you'll see on the leaves, which are insects, which are literally sucking the juices out of the plant. And when they do that, it turns into a black sooty mold on the top of the leaf, so the sun can't get to it, and your plant deteriorates. So you need to spray that oil spray, but it's very important that you don't do it now. Back in the day, we used a product called Volk Oil Spray. It was an ortho product, excellent product, but the time frame where you could use it was very short. You didn't want it to be too cold or too hot, so right usually around April. Now, what we use now is a product called Ultra Fine Oil, which has increased that period of time where one can spray without doing any damage to the plants. But not today, not tomorrow, not this weekend.
Good heads up there.
30 degrees, you don't want to do that. Generally, we liked it to be in the 50s and then in the 70s, in that range, on a constant basis. So it's not the thing to do now, but put it on your calendar, because that is so important to do.
Okay. Well, we have so much information that Mike has given out this morning. And if you ever want to re-listen to the broadcast, you can always do that on our podcast, which is on our website at newsradio923.com. And I usually post that a little bit after in the afternoon sometime. But you can always re-listen to it and take notes.
Well, I appreciate that. One other thing we need to do, Meg.
Yes, sir.
Feed the birds.
Oh.
The birds are hungry.
Yes.
Yeah. I joked with somebody the other day. I ran out of bird food in my bird feeder, and I couldn't get to it for a day or so. And I looked out in the backyard, and they had sent an emissary, the birds had, to come talk to me about where's our food.
Oh, my goodness. That's pretty funny.
That was a little silly, but do feed the birds. It's cold, and they're hungry. And
absolutely.
It's a good thing to do.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike. You're amazing. Just a plethora of knowledge and information. It's The Garden Line on Tuesdays, 9 to 11. And this morning, we will be back with Vera's help that they'll be coming in just a little bit. This is Meg on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. The Garden Line on Tuesdays. We'll be back again next week.